This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم لك الحمد أنت قيوم السماوات والأرض. All right, assalamu alaikum. If you're watching on my social media streams, inshallah, we'll be going live shortly with Islam Channel. This is Islamic Q&A out of the United Kingdom. Islam Channel broadcast live in different satellite stations and online. If you do want to share in, you're welcome to put your questions through them, or you can wait for the time that I have free with you to kind of have a discussion, inshallah, together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khayr and barakah. Allahumma ameen. Wherever you're listening from, do let us know, inshallah. There's always, mashallah, a large number of people watching from a variety of places around the world. Always very interested in seeing where you guys are. All right. So yeah, let us know where you're viewing from, inshallah. We'll be getting online shortly with Islam Channel. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. MashaAllah, we got a worshiper from Kenya. We got Ayabu Ayam in Malaysia. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. People of Denmark, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, the United Kingdom. My Nigerian brothers and sisters, MashaAllah. We got people from Sudan. We got America. We got Canada, alhamdulillah. Where else are you joining us in from?
Okay, 30 seconds.
All right, we'll be going live in 30 seconds, inshallah. We'll give our attention to that. Bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. Allahumma laka alhamd.
Okay, countdown coming in. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and you're live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. Welcome, it's your brother Yahya Ibrahim coming to you live on the wonderful vehicle of Islam Channel for Islamic Q&A. It is noon in London time, alhamdulillah, and a little bit past 8 p.m. here in my home in Perth, Western Australia. Once again, the greetings and peace of Allah be upon all of you, irrespective of where you're watching from. It's a pleasure and an opportunity, alhamdulillah, to connect our hearts and souls to our tradition as Muslims, to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I khayr and barakah in the time that we spend together. Allahumma ameen. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates for us all of this khayr through our discussions and through your questions, inshallah. There are a number of questions that have already been emailed out that are already in the queue for me to address and to take. And I do look forward to receiving your on-air live questions, inshallah ta'ala. The first question that's put forward, I cannot bathe due to a wound that I am healing from. So somebody's been injured, they have a wound, and they are unable to bathe as a result of it. Can I pray without performing ghusl? So the answer to that is yes, subhanAllah. For us as Muslims, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that nobody is accountable for that which is beyond their means. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah also says in Surah Al-Baqarah that Allah seeks facility for us and not hardship. ولتكبر الله على ما هداكم, that Allah wants us to honor him for the guidance that we had. There's also a famous incident recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari of a very similar nature. One of the Sahaba fell off his mount, his head was split open, he nearly died, And when it came time for Salah, the other Sahaba, unknowing of this, they asked him to make full wudu and full bathe. And he said, I'm afraid that if I uncover my wound, if I bathe, that this may be something that will cause me trouble, that I can feel ill because of it. SubhanAllah, he became infected, he began to bleed, and he died. The Prophet ﷺ said, قَتَلُوهُ إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ أَلَا سَأَلُوا إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. You know, they killed him. Why didn't they ask a question? The cure to ignorance is to ask a question. So what do you do in a situation like this? Well, if you can make ghusl on half of your body, do so. If you can make ghusl on your hands and on your feet, but not your arms, alhamdulillah. If you can do it on your extremities, but not your face, alhamdulillah. If you can make wudu, but not bathe your body, alhamdulillah. Whatever extent you're able to bathe, then do so. And if it is something that the majority of your body you're not able to bathe, then do tayammum. And it could be brought to you. You can be, if you're in your hospital, in your home, you can have, just a small amount of sand, inshallah, and make your tayammum with that. Certainly, it would be better than to pray with nothing or with no wudu, with no ghusl or tayammum, inshallah. What are the rewards for a woman leaving her job to please her husband and be a full-time mom? I've gone back to work after a long break, but it's not quite working in terms of our childcare. I can't help but feel like a failure for not being able to carry on working. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift you and assist you and help you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your purpose and your decision the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the honoring and the devotion of your commitment to your family, to your husband, to your young ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for you from means that you cannot, that you did not assume existed. What I will say to you, my dear sister, is to try to explore the possibility of other types of work that can be done from home, whether it's online or, from a home office, inshallah. If the nature of your job is not something that can be done in that way, and you are putting the priority of your children first, then know that this is something that is immensely rewarded for Allah. And prioritizing your family is a great action of worship before Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us, مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَوَضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِمَّا تَرَكَ. That the one who abandons something, seeking the pleasure of Allah, seeking what is best for themselves, for their home, for their family, for their iman, for their salah, the one who leaves something seeking Allah, Allah will replace what they have left with something better. And the one who goes and seeks out what Allah has forbidden and turns away from Allah, then Allah will make that which they have chosen in other than Him their ordeal and their hardship. May Allah protect you from this. So may Allah honor you and assist you and uplift you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for you and your family from where you do not assume that it can be attained. Is it valid to ask for a divorce if you no longer like the person, as in no feelings and you don't get along? SubhanAllah, marriage is a great commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one's spouse. It's a great commitment to your wife. It's a great commitment to your husband. Liking someone is something that develops through the trials of life, through thick and thin. If you are unable to fulfill the obligations of marriage that are set by Allah, by our deen, this is where a person can petition for separation. Certainly, in the times that we live in today, there are too many people simply separating from each other on account of them changing their mind. That is not really the way that we approach life and serious matters such as faith. These are commitments that we have made to each other. There are financial obligations, cultural obligations, religious obligations, family duties. All of these are things that, subhanAllah, we find together. What I could say to you, my dear brother or sister, I'm not sure which you are, what makes you think that the next person that you do marry, you will like them any better than this one? Perhaps if you are so self-centered in such a perspective, that it's just about like or dislike, that you're willing to let go, This is something that I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah does not test you with loneliness and being on your own as a consequence of it. There are many of us, alhamdulillah, who struggle each and every day for the fulfillment of our rights and duties to each other. And marriage is not something where it's a Hollywood movie where you live happily ever after. There will be ups and downs, joyous moments, sad moments, healthy moments, ill moments. There will be moments where you are wealthy and prosperous and moments where you are struggling to make ends meet. But as you commit to each other in your commitment to Allah, you will find strength in that. Know that the Prophet ﷺ says, of the things most hated by Allah that are halal, that are permitted, is divorce. And that's where there are solid foundational reasons. But to simply say, we don't get along, or I've changed my feelings or my mind, is really a very worrying statement. Not me worried for you, but actually for your spouse, who is probably finding themselves in a very difficult situation right now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commit you to each other in good, or separate you with each other, from each other with ihsan. Allahumma ameen. I think there needs to be a level of purity and awareness of one's place and one's dealings in such a question, inshallah. I wanted to find out the authenticity of the hadith about a gate in Jannah, which 70,000 of the followers will enter without any account, which excludes those who practice ruqya. Does this mean ruqya is forbidden or disliked? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari and al-Imam Muslim, that there is 70,000 min ummati, 70,000. And the word 70,000 is not lil-hasr, it is not to confine the number. 70,000 in the Arabic language means an excessive amount of number, meaning that there are many, many. 70,000 was not something that the Arabs could count up to. So the highest number that they had was 1,000. So they would count up to 1,000, then they would start another 1,000. These are 1,000 camels. They start 1, 2, 3, 4, again another 1,000. They say 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. So when you get to 70, it's like, how much are you going to keep counting? There is so many. So don't look at it as, subhanAllah, in the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, there's 1 billion people, only 70,000. So the 70,000 is in comparison to the vastness and the large amount of human beings. The second statement of the Prophet ﷺ, لا يسترقون. They are those who don't put their trust in ruqya. Rather, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Their tawakkul is upon Allah, which means that the Prophet ﷺ is turning our attention away from putting our trust in, say, doctors alone, that you say, the doctor will cure me. The answer is no. Allah is the healer. Allah is the provider of shifa. One person may be given medicine or an operation, they get better, and another may be given the same medicine or operation, they don't. One person may become much, much healthier, one person may not recover. The one who grants healing is ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet is limiting us from putting our tawakkul in other than Allah. Yes, we are to take the means to good health. So when there is medicine prescribed, we take it. And we fulfill our obligations to ourselves and our families. However, in our mind and our heart, our belief that our dua to Allah is also a medicine, it is a healing, and our healer is Allah. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Ibrahim would make the dua that when I make myself ill, when life has given me this test, then I find my healing and my shifa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith is authentic and the meaning is as described earlier, inshallah. What is the correct procedure that must be done if a brother falls down during prayer in a masjid? Can we cut off the prayer and help them? Those who are nearest to them, or those who are medical practitioners, or those who have that expertise, should help them. If it is the imam themselves, somebody else can continue with the prayer, and a group should maintain the salah while others are engaged in the assistance of whoever is in need. Certainly, it does not call for the whole salah to be abandoned unless it is of that nature of emergency, inshallah. There are moments in our history where Muslims continued their prayer even though there were those who committed atrocities of slaughter against them and murder against them, such as the time of Genghis Khan entering into the Masjid of Bukhara, such as the murderous rampage by certain entities as they entered into Al-Khalil Masjid in Al-Khalil during the month of Ramadan. The Muslims maintained their fulfillment and their prayer, although others were engaged in helping those who were wounded or finding cover and defense against them. Alhamdulillah. If I'm performing wudu and I wash both hands together three times or wash three times each, so the washing of the hands is together. It's not washing one on its own or washing this hand and then this hand. It is the wash together, inshallah. And tahlil al-asabi' is that you get the water through your fingers. And washing the hands is a sunnah. It is not washing the hands themselves. I don't mean the arm. Hands, before you wash their face, is a sunnah, not from the necessities of wudu. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah that you make your wudu, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Wash your faces and your arms and hands and arms to the elbows. Wipe over your head and wash your feet. This is the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have our final 2 minutes together, inshallah. We're just going to take one final question. If I missed my two rak'ah dhuhr salah, am I to recite only a surah when making it, or only surah al-fatiha? So that means the person has come in, they missed the first two rak'ah of salat al-dhuhr. So now after the imam has made salam, they've stood up for two rak'ah. The two rak'ah that I stand up for, do I read fatiha and a surah, or I don't just read surah al-fatiha? It is recommended to read Surah Al-Fatiha and a surah to complete the reward of the sunnah, inshallah. Nevertheless, even if you were to continue the whole salah, even if you began with the imam the whole salah, if you recited Surah Al-Fatiha on its own, your salah is valid. But the sunnah is to read a second surah. So you want that reward. May Allah magnify it for us. May Allah increase us and add to us more than what we have anticipated. Allahumma ameen.
And
we're going to have a short break, inshallah, and return back in the next few minutes. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I look forward to seeing you again soon, inshallah. All right, for those who are watching live online, I'm happy to take some of your questions now, inshallah, while we have our short break with Islam Channel. All right, we have one question. It says, I have more than one question regarding bringing kids home, closing windows when Maghrib starts. How long does it last? I have 1 hour time opinion, but I came across a 10-minute ruling, which is correct. It is not 1 hour, subhanAllah. It is at the time of Salatul Maghrib, as the sky is darkening, close your doors, close your windows, bring your children, bring yourself indoors, inshallah, and say Bismillah as you open and close your doors. And then as soon as it's darkened, as soon as the adhan and the iqama have been made, you are able to open up again, inshallah. It does not need to be an extended period of time. Just from where the sky alters from light to dark, inshallah. All right, let's see if there's any other questions that are popping through. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. If syrup contains alcohol, about 1.2%, would it be permissible to consume? Is this syrup as a cough syrup, as a cough medicine? If there is an alternative that is without cough medicine that has the same effect for your respiratory or for your particular needs or your children's needs, they are preferred. But if there is no alternative and this is the only one that is afforded, or this is a suspension of your particular medicine in it, so it requires it, then it is valid for the immediate need that it is required, شاء الله. All right, let's see if there's any other questions coming through. Feel free, inshallah, to send your questions through. We'll do our best to take them, inshallah. How to parent children in these times? You know, certainly you want to make sure that you are expressive of your love, that you are attentive to their questions, that you are vetting and careful with who they are interacting with in your home, in their school, and certainly online. You want to make sure that your son is not playing his PS4 with his headphones on, and you don't know who's on the other side. You can't hear the conversation. You don't know what's being shared in the Discord channel, the Twitch channel. You want to make sure that your children do not take any personal online devices into their rooms at night or on their own during the day. If they want to study using their laptop, they are welcome to do it on the kitchen table, on the kitchen bench. They're welcome to do it in the living room. There is no expectation of privacy except for their physical privacy in that sense. And that's something that's really important, that your children do not have that expectation that they are beyond your purview. So if your daughter has, you know, her friends and they send photos to each other and this and that, your wife is the one that looks through it. Your son is, you know, cared for. You have to make sure that you have very strong filters on your drives and on your internet, that the Wi-Fi is switched off at night when it's not in need. All of those are really important considerations. It's not that you don't trust your children, it's that you don't trust others in their interaction with them. And as your children continue to earn your trust, you can begin to provide for them other means, inshallah, for earning it. But certainly you, your responsibility is as a guardian, is as a shepherd, is as a leader, not as a friend. Your job is not to be your children's best friend. Your job is to be their father and their mother and to set an upright example that you cherish your wife and your husband in front of your children, that they see that and that they aspire to that, that the thing your daughter wants the most is, inshallah, to have a loving husband, just like the loving father she sees interacting with her mother. That is the aim of your life with them, inshallah. My question is regarding salah, that is, when I'm going down for sujood, are my hands supposed to go first for my knees, I keep hearing different things. Both of them are reported from the understanding of the scholars. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they interpret the same hadith in different ways. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you make sujood, don't make sujood the way a camel makes sujood. So some people interpret it that the camel goes down with the front first and then they bring their rear. Others said, no, what is meant is that the camel goes to its knees without its hands. So in both of them, it's interpreting the same hadith. Both of them come from the sunnah. Both of them are valid, inshallah. It is not a point of contention. Even though you will hear some of the scholars say that the sunnah is to put your hands first, and the others say the sunnah is to go down with your knees first, both of them are saying the same thing, but saying it using their usul, their principles of analysis. Not because it's sunnah for one, that it means it is sinful for the other, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum, is it true that the best time to memorize is after Fajr? Not necessarily. The Qur'an, wa Qur'an al-Fajr kana mashhuda, as Allah says in Surah Al-Isra. But your mind is fresher. Your circadian dip and has not yet struck. Your body is its most alive in that moment. I would highly recommend that you become a person who's an early riser. But there are some people who genetically they like to sleep in, and being, you know, waking up after Fajr and staying awake after Fajr is not their best option, and they would prefer to read Quran at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. There's no problem with that. There is no particular statement from the Sahaba or the Salaf that says it has to be after Fajr. There wasn't a particular time that the Prophet only taught the Quran or that he taught the Quran after Fajr. None of that is established in the Sunnah in that sense, inshallah. All right. We have another question. Is predicting a game without putting money on it to win something, maybe without to win something? Okay. Is predicting a game without putting money to win haram? No, so that's, you know, it's whether it's an analysis or it's, you know, those kind of pools that people do, if there isn't anything attached to it of a monetary value, then it is acceptable, inshallah, if it is not too wasteful with time. Is there a particular dhikr to recite for seven stages of nafs? I don't know anything in particular that relates to this discussion. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I know the Prophet ﷺ would ask Allah to purify his heart, and the sunnah of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ is to be very personal with it. So may Allah grant us ease and comfort, Ya Rab. Assalamu alaikum. Can I beautify my children's playroom with stickers? Some of them have animals. Is it permissible, or will angels not enter in their home? So generally speaking, you want to be careful with what your children consume or that what they become familiar with. So the type of animals that you're kind of putting are things that come from Disney and things like that, that will make them much more attracted to those kind of shows into the future. Know that there are movie producers who are targeting our young children with, you know, with characters that get them hooked and addicted to some of the things that are being viewed. So I would say to you, my dear sister, don't put anything up on the walls. Don't put anything permanent. It's not offensive if it's not something that's iconified or worshipped and things like that. But having it there each and every day, that it's something that they wake up to and look at each and every morning, it's always in their face. I don't think that that's appropriate. Don't do it, inshallah. How can I respectfully and strategically tell my friend to move away from her abusive parents? They are already planning on moving out, but I want to be supportive. And really, I can't answer a question like that. I don't know the circumstances of it. I don't know what you mean by abusive parents. That's a very generic term. Is it financial? Is it emotional? Is it physical? We always want to make sure that everybody is safe. That's the primary priority. So I will leave that question unanswered, inshallah. Do the dead know when you visit their grave after death? Can a soul travel to earth to visit family? A soul does not travel to visit earth to family. The journey of the soul is described to us by Allah and the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran and the authentic hadith. Once we cross over to the next side, we have greater concerns than this worldly life. Are they familiar with us, and do they hear greetings from us? Do they receive comfort when we do a charity or a dua on their behalf? And the answer is yes. So the physical actions, the physical statements, the physical charity we do in this life impacts them in their spiritual life. There's also the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ saying that when somebody passes away, those who knew them from this worldly life wait for them on the next side and ask them, hey, what has this son of mine done? And what has my family done? And who has done this? And where have people gone? We also know from some of the statements of the Prophet ﷺ that those who have passed on into the next life are honored on account of the actions of their loved ones in this life. The Prophet specifically says that the benefit of a deceased person is cut off from this life except from their three investments that they invested. One of them, وَلَدٌ صَالِحْ يَدْعُو لَهُ, righteous children who continue to invoke God on their behalf. So there is an immediate effect on that. We also know that the Prophet ﷺ was regular in visiting the grave of his loved ones, the people of Uhud, those who were near to him, and he made dua for them. One of the reasons that we make Muslim burial places is that this is a residence for the souls of the Muslims, that we are gathered together and we make friends with each other in that spiritual life. Also something that is lays evidence to this is that friends in this life are asked to bury next to each other, and families are asked to bury next to each other as a connection to them. And that's why Abu Bakr is buried next to the Prophet ﷺ. Umar is buried next to Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ. With the union that they have in this world, we hope that they will be honored in that in the next life. Allahumma ameen. So do they, can they come to visit us? The answer is no. What about if we see them in a dream? The seeing them in a dream is a very comforting phenomenon, and it is real when it is a ru'ya, but it can also be deceptive and can be a manipulation from the shaitan. And therefore, any instruction that is given from someone that we see in a dream is discounted as being actionable. So just say you know, may Allah comfort us. We see a loved one, a mother or a grandmother who comes back and says, listen, I'm over here now. You need to change your job. Don't go out and commit and quit your job the next day because mom told me to do so. That's not how it works, inshallah. There is a very interpretive art of interpretation of the ru'ya. I have a lecture on the art of dream interpretation, Islamic dream interpretation, on YouTube. If you YouTube search, you will find my discussion. I also have a two-part article series called The Art of Islamic Dream Interpretation on muslimmatters.org. If somebody's watching, perhaps they can put the link up, inshallah. All right, my son is trying to pray in school. Now when days are so short, would it be permissible to join Dhuhr and Asr? The answer is yes, inshallah. While in ihram, is it allowed to wear flip-flops during Safa and Marwa? You're allowed to wear them outside Safa and Marwa anywhere you like. I guess your question is, can you wear it inside the haram now that you're in there and there's other people praying? So what I would say to you, and what I do, I carry a clean pair. So I buy a pair of flip-flops that I don't wear on the street. I keep them in my little bag that's on my back as I'm heading out for my tawaf. And then I change into them. Don't worry when other people say, why are you wearing them? It's not whether you're wearing them or not that's the issue. It's whether they have najasa on it and impurities on it, because there are people making their salah. So if you are wearing something clean, don't worry about it. Or wash your shoes before you go in, or your flip-flops, inshallah. It's difficult to keep wudu and need to keep making wudu at work. Do you need to wash your feet, or can you do mas'h instead? It's logical to make mas'h, inshallah. Make sure that you learn the rulings of how to make mas'h. And just very simply, you make wudu before you put on your thick socks or your shoes. And then you are in a state of wudu until you break it. And you can make mas'h and wipe over your foot, your shoe, for the next five prayers, inshallah. It's very, very facilitating. And if you're a traveler for 3 days even, inshallah, as long as you don't remove your shoe and that they are the proper attire, your shoe and socks, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Does reading Quran for the deceased actually benefit them on their scale of Day of Judgment? The dua of you asking Allah to put the reward in their scale does benefit them, inshallah. This seems to be the most correct opinion. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So it's not the Quran itself, it's your intention of sharing the reward with them as an act of ibadah, as an act of charity on their behalf, inshallah. All right. So I'm checking the questions on the question tab, inshallah. Can I perform other salah than duha qada after fajr, salatul haja. Yes, you can, but wait until the sun has fully risen. You can pray any salah, inshallah, any nafl, inshallah. Do you have to pay zakah on your pension? I can't answer a question like that unless I understand what type of pension it is. Is the pension in your control, or is it in the government's control or the bank's control, and it'll only be in your control once you receive it? So there's a variety of issues that relate to it. In general, if you have power over the money and you are able to execute decisions for it, and you are able to benefit from it in the immediate sense, then yes, zakah becomes applicable. If the money is stored for you until you are old enough to receive it, then it is not zakah until you receive the money, according to the most telling opinion in my understanding. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. All right. Is it permissible to hang Islamic heart in your home? Yes, it allows you to recite the verses of Allah. So if you have something that inspires you, Ayatul Kursi, you see it when you wake up in the morning, you read Ayatul Kursi. The aim of it is that. But if you feel, if you falsely believe that just putting Ayatul Kursi written on the wall on its own, without you reading it, without you intending to use it and to make it of a means of protection, then it's not of value in that sense. Is wearing niqab a fard or a sunnah? It's neither fard nor sunnah. It is a choice, inshallah, that is made. It is a sunnah of those who have taken that path and they want to be more conservative. But the niqab is something that we can demonstrate from the hadith and from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, was worn by many, but also not worn by many. And it is something that there is numerous accounts of that. If niqab was a fard, then a woman would not be ordered to remove it during Hajj and Umrah or in their state of Ihram or in their Salah, inshallah. All right, we're going to go back to Islam channel for our questions that are coming forward, inshallah. There's a question, can you recommend any books for kids? It depends what age and, what do you mean by books? Is it novels or is it about Islam? If you could send a little bit more clarity, I'll do my best to assist with that, inshallah. Two books that I've just been reviewing is called The Simple Seerah by Brother Asim Khan. Very good books, two set. The simple seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's for about 10 to 15 years old. All right, we're ready to roll with Islam channel, inshallah.
Coming in.
Bismillah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
You're live. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Islamic Q&A with your brother Yahya Ibrahim. Inshallah, we're able to receive some of your calls on air. There are a number of questions that have come in through the WhatsApp services and the email services. The first question, inshallah, that we have before us. Bismillah. Can I dance with my wife in our room? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Yes, of course you can, ya akhi. Why not? SubhanAllah. There is no restrictions on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you happiness and khair and barakah. Allahumma ameen. It is something that is permissible. There is no issues that relate to that, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you joy and comfort with each other. Ameen, ya Rabb. Is being a middleman in business and adding profit margin in between others an exploitation or haram? So when it comes to ethical business practices, there are a number of different dynamics. In general, buying something and selling something is halal. Being in the middle, where you don't let people know you're in the middle, and you're doing two sales in one contract, is not something that is seen as part of our deen. So it would not be appropriate to not tell one person that you are profiting from the interaction. So there has to be that level of transparency. But if you were to take from one, buy it, you've leveraged the money, and then you sell to the other one as the middleman, you're not the producer and you're not the end market seller, and you're in the middle, you're the conveyance. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you are just simply adding on a percentage because, you know, I'm the connection, then that's something that you do need to consider, inshallah, if you are not being transparent. And if you are making two contracts with one, it would not be acceptable. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Mike, how can we deal with a parent who is angry easily? Subhanallah. Well, you know, the natural answer is try to limit getting them angry. And you have to understand, why do our parents get upset with us? Is it something from their experience that we are heading down the wrong road? Is it something that we are negligent in our behavior? Or is it something on their part? A parent getting angry is not necessarily the problem. And a conflict is not necessarily a bad thing. And our parents being upset with us is not the end of the world. What is upset is our reaction to it, is the reason they are angry. So if they are bringing us towards Allah and we are rebelling, then we should be worried. If we are the cause of their pain, the cause of their worry, the cause of their fear, by immature decisions, by not consulting them, by being callous in our duty towards them, then that's something we need to be introspective about. But if our parents are angry easily for no apparent good reason, and it is something that they have an irritable syndrome, or perhaps it's a mental health issue. And subhanAllah, there are many who do suffer with it in an undiagnosed capacity. They're just angry, they're just hostile, they're just, you know, and it's not necessarily for any good reason. So then there are other mechanisms that can help that. And a part of that is just learning how to manage their anger, helping them with anger management, to being able to leverage some of the good with them, and finding them a clinician who can assist them to overcome some of those waswasa and ailments that may be inflicting them. May Allah help us and all of them. Allahumma ameen. What is the order in which we should seek knowledge? What should we learn first? SubhanAllah, it's an interesting question. It'll depend on age. It'll depend on what you mean by knowledge. So there is knowledge in the terms of al-ilm bi-darura, things that I must know just because I'm a Muslim. So how to pray, when to pray, how to prepare for the prayer, how to lead others, how to fix a mistake in my salah, how to recite from the Quran and to begin my journey with tajweed. You know, those are things that are a part and parcel of my relationship. How to fast, what breaks fasting. You don't need to know the rulings of Hajj if you're not intending Hajj. You don't need to know the rulings of Zakah unless you have the wealth of Zakah. So it depends what you mean by knowledge. And if you're seeking knowledge so that you can be a teacher to others, then it's a totally different question. So in terms of our personal responsibility of knowledge, you want to know the who, what, when, where, how, and why. You want to know how to pray, when to pray, what I'm doing the salah for, what is the reward for it, what is the punishment of missing it, why is this so important, such an enormous duty in Islam, understanding those the who, what, when, where, how, and why becomes very important. And that's where the Prophet ﷺ, he begins by Allah saying to him, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Come to know about La ilaha illallah. So the first place that we begin is Tawheed. Who is Allah? What does Allah want of me? And how do I give Allah what He has asked? You know, the haqq of Allah upon His slave, upon His creation. That becomes the first point of knowledge. You don't have to know how to read Tajweed and Quran and be fanciful in your Arabic grammar. None of that is of matter. What is important first is Tawheed, the ikhlas of your relationship with Allah, and learning about your relationship with Allah, that you are His, you are the Ma'bud. You are the one that He is al-Ma'bud, and you are the Abd, the slave before Him. So what are the demands of Allah? Knowing La ilaha illallah, its conditions. Knowing Muhammad Rasulullah, his rights upon us. Knowing the essence of the Sunnah. Knowing our creed, what we believe about Allah. You know, we believe in Allah and we believe things about Allah. Understanding those things and understanding what is not Allah. What to disassociate from Allah and push away from others making as a claim about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So La ilaha illallah becomes the first step. Number two is, where do you learn best about Allah? Who's going to tell you best about Allah? It is Allah, in the word of Allah. So begin studying the Quran, mentoring through the Quran, contemplating and deliberating over the words of Allah, focusing on the recitation of it and the meaning of it, and capturing its essence in your life. Number two is, how do I put the Quran into practice, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? So you want a holistic approach of learning about God through the word of Allah in demonstration of the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And that requires a concentrated effort through listening, hearing, reading, and practice. I recommend that each and every person become enrolled in something that can benefit them. I personally have an online Islamic school. It's on my website, yahyaibrahim.com/school. It's of enormous benefit to many people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it of good use. It has those foundations for young and old men and women. It's some, you know, that's the kind of thing that you want. Who is Allah? How do we relate to Allah? And where we can move forward in our life. But if you want to become a person who is an expert, then you need to be mentored in that process. And there needs to be talaqi. There needs to be receiving knowledge from one who is verified by other knowledgeable people as being knowledgeable and able and capable to lead you in the reading of the Quran, in the practice of Islam, as a sheikh and an imam and as a sheikha, inshallah. And there are numerous avenues and outlets online and in your localities that could be of great benefit for you in that regard, inshallah. All of those are recommended pathways. So at-tawheed is the beginning, the Quran, and then the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in consolidating that information through a consecrated study and effort of wanting to become more acquainted with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Near the end of our time together, we have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Good to hear from you. Yes.
Muslim man and a Christian lady, you know, they like, but they cannot together for the reasons of commitment with their children, etc. And they are not responsible for each other's, you know, financial support. Can they get involved, you know, by virtue of nikah? Does she have to be understanding the Islam, etc., and then sort of, you know, go into it?
So, jazakallah khair. So, there are conventional nikah and unconventional halal nikah. And the two are not necessarily alien from each other. And wherever, there are personal needs that kind of come into play, I would always recommend to visit a local alim. It is possible for a Muslim man to be married and that the sister that they are married to has a particular maturity in herself. She's already set in her ways. She doesn't want somebody who's living with her, but she does want somebody who will be a comfort for her. They live in separate locations. It's not the conventional marriage, but it does work and it can be deemed halal. Certainly there are the conventional and non-conventional halal types of marriages. They are dependent on circumstances. Some people are married and they live far away from each other, you know, due to work or travel or fly in and fly out business arrangements. All of those are things that the Sharia takes into play. I would investigate it with somebody who is a local scholar. It does not seem to me from hearing the outside of the conversation as being impermissible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khayr and barakah. May Allah assist us all in good. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah.